discerning what we're seeing.
All the images I'm showing you have come from pregnancy centers. That, keep in mind, as I said earlier, we never know what we're going to see. So I wanted you to see a lot of the different images that we've picked up from pregnancy centers. And so that's exactly what these are. Now, I'm just going to show you study number one. This was an early pregnancy, and this would be what I would think of as a typical type of ultrasound. And remember we talked about earlier, we're always going to start out with our sagittal image. What are we going to look for? We're going to look for over here. We're going to see these. Bladder, posterior of the bladder, we're always going to see the vagina. There's the vaginal canal, and we're coming down and we're looking for the cervix. Do we see a great cervix there? Not great. I see some lack of, I see loss of image there. Back here would be the cul-de-sac up to the fundus. Look inside, I see evidence of a pregnancy. Not real clear. Well, now that we go transverse, this is as good as it gets in transverse on this one. I see borders of the uterus. We could probably make this image just a little deeper to get the lower borders here, but there's significant area here from the fundus there, maternal habitus. So we don't get a great view here. So it would be necessary to do a vaginal scan, but I would survey, like we went through back there, I would always do that survey, total abdominal survey, observing sagittal and transverse from vagina to fundus and right to left adnexa. Then we go to a vaginal scan. Now, we do the vaginal scan over here. We're looking for the cervix. Yeah, okay, remember, the probe is in the vagina. Over here should be the cervix. And believe it or not, I actually lightened up all these images about 20% so you could get the most information. Because when I printed them out, and so on your handout there, they're a little bit dark. Over here was cervix. And this often, I don't know why, but if you have a GE machine, I think the cervix are an issue. Finding a nice cervix in the sagittal. We've got some shadow in there. Posterior wall wraps around toward the fundus. We see pregnancy inside here. And then in a transverse vaginal scan, uterus here, and there's pregnancy inside there. Going on there, and now we're doing our measurements. Are these looking much better now than what you saw abdominally? Mm-hmm. This is why you always want the best information. And I can measure in crown rump, top of the head, to the bottom of the rump, within the uterus there, and we're getting 8 weeks, 0 days, 17.3 millimeters. And then we're also picking up cardiac activity, and we're getting a fetal heart rate of 173 beats a minute. Have we got the information we know we wanted to find out? Intrauterine pregnancy, estimated gestational age, and fetal cardiac activity. Yes, this would be very, very typical, and we've got that information. Okay, let's go to our next one. We're going to go to study two. Now, anybody recognize this one? This scan was done by our own Cephalon here. Cephalon has been scanning 2 years, and Cephalon, if I don't tell the story right, you just be sure to correct me. This was a 31-year-old, and by gestational age from last menstrual period, she should be 6 weeks and 3 days. Now, Cephalon did an abdominal scan. There's bladder there, and we see a little bit of vaginal canal. We're losing cervix here, a bit of cervix here. And here we see uterus right here with gestational sac. We see yolk sac. We see embryo there. Cephalon surveyed in the sagittal plane. She documented that. She went into a transverse plane. And transverse, you scan from vagina through the fundus and come back in midline and document. Here's her uterus and transverse. We see a yolk sac there. And Cephalon picked up something over here in the left adnexa. Remember, I said, when you're surveying, you're always, always, always observing. And Cephalon noticed something that looked, to me, this looks significant. Is anybody else that looks significant in the left adnexa? So, let's see, and I'm going to go to the next one. Cephalon did. She measured in the this is, again, actually, this is, these are abdominal scans, because Cephalin got really concerned at that point when she saw something in the adnexa, and so she did not want to do a vaginal scan, because you were very concerned at that point, weren't you? And so, but she did measure a measurable crown rump there, and she has a yolk sac there, and baby measured 6 weeks and 6 days. Here, left adnexa, see, there appears to be something in that sac. We might see ovaries, but when we see an ovary, we don't expect to see, because an ovary can look very, they very much like at times an ectopic pregnancy, but if you're seeing something inside that ovary, very much concerned there. And Cephalin picked that up. She actually went over and measured what was in that, and she picked up something measuring 6 weeks in 1 day. This, what, do y'all know what that would be called? That's called a heterotopic pregnancy. That's a pregnancy when there is one in the uterus and one outside. Years ago, when we were scanning, we were told the likelihood of a heterotopic pregnancy was 1 in 30,000. That you'd have a pregnancy in the uterus and you have a pregnancy outside of the uterus. Now, just, and I don't know how they come up with these numbers, but just about 2 or 3 years ago, they came back and said, you know what, those numbers were all wrong. Now we think it's more like 1,285 to 3,800. That's like a ten times what we've been hearing all through the years. And if somebody is using assisted reproduction, it's way higher than that. But this is natural reproduction. 1 in 1,285 to 3,800 is the possibility of finding a heterotopic pregnancy. And so that's vastly different. Means when you're surveying, look. Careful observation here. Cephalin, so what you, and you couldn't confirm viability for the intrauterine pregnancy with hers, right?
So intrauterine, yes, I was able to confirm viability, but not with the one.
Okay, let me see if I've got the right image here. Okay, yes, okay. You got viability with the intrauterine, but not with this one, correct?
Correct.
And you sent her to the emergency room.
Correct.
And I'm going to read what she wrote, unless you want to stand up and tell us.
Okay.
And she, here's what she did. Great response. She said she notified the patient to go to the emergency room ASAP. She recognized something very serious could be going on here. For further evaluation, she gave her ectopic and miscarriage precautions. Hopefully, do you all have those at your disposal? Okay. And told her to follow up with OBGYN as soon as possible, especially if feeling any pain or discomfort. The radiologist's report was questionable multiple pregnancy and heterotopic. Fetus A, live IUP with a heart rate of 150 beats a minute. Yolk sac was visualized. We saw that ourselves, with a crown rump length of 0.76, which is 6 weeks, 5 days. Fetus B, questionable left adnexal ectopic or cyst with a crown rump length measuring 0.41 centimeter, 6 week, 1 day. No fetal heart observed. Patient notified to follow up with OBGYN as soon as possible. Go to nearest emergency room if experiencing pain or bleeding. And she should have at least a repeat ultrasound 3 days. And Cephalin, what was the final on her?
I kept calling. She didn't call me back, so I don't know the final result. But
okay.
I know she's following up with the doctor, because we did get fax requests.
Okay. So this is when you want to give precautions. You do want to follow up and try to tell them to get back. My recommendation is if you try to call them up to 3 times, document each time you call. I would probably send a registered letter, and just tell her we saw you at this date. Our physician had concerns. Would you please notify us that you've sought care? Those kind of things, and then put that into the patient's chart. Okay. Next one. This patient was a 19-year-old, and here we see this is study number 3. So we're looking abdominally. Okay, here's vaginal canal. We're seeing uterus here. Not getting great images. Looks like we're seeing a gestational sac here. Then the transverse plane, we see uterus here. We see a gestational sac, what appears to be, but we're not getting the best information from either of those. Can you see that? Bladder is pretty empty.
So what would be our best option here? We go to a vaginal scan. Okay. And this one as well. Cephalon, this is also yours.
Another one.
Mm-hmm. Can you believe it? Cephalon's been scanning 2 years. Cephalon went to her vaginal scan. This is her image here. There's pregnancy inside. Looks like it might be pregnancy inside the uterus there, but she noticed something in the right adnex of this time that looks significant. It would say, could look like a corpus luteum cyst, but you know what? There is something inside of it. Here it is. She sees this again. And measured that. And you got a measurement of the adnexal. You've measured a crown rump there that measured 6 weeks that was in the right adnexa, and then you did a gestational sac measurement. Somebody asked about gestational sac measurement. You're going to measure in one plane the height and the length, and then the next plane you're going to turn it in transverse, and you're going to measure the width of it. And that, again, with the gestational sac measurement, again, came out over 6 weeks. And you can see a little something in the uterus here. And tell me, Cephalon, what would happen with that. Tell us what happened with that one.
So I told her, okay, go to the emergency room right away. And she did go. And she said that the doctor at the hospital just told her that it would just get reabsorbed.
Okay.
And then the next... And this girl was a 19-year-old abortion-determined girl.
Okay. So can you all hear Cephalon? Okay, stand up and explain it. Would you do that? Thanks. So just so they don't miss out, y'all tell us if you can't hear.
So this is a 19-year-old girl who came to us, and when I did the ultrasound, this is what I found. So I told her, I'm not seeing what I expect to see, and there's something that is possible, ectopic, possible cyst, but I don't know for sure, so you need to go to the emergency room right away. So she did end up going to the emergency room. I even sent a picture and told her, go ahead and show this, because at that point we don't have a final report. So when she went, they told her that it would just get reabsorbed. But then I continued to tell her, now if you feel any of these pains, please go to the nearest emergency room, the cramp, because we always give them miscarriage and ectopic precautions. So,
and you said your final communication with her, she said she was experiencing severe pain and bleeding.
Correct. And then she called me and said, oh, by the way, I'm experiencing. Remember, you told me to, if I have all these symptoms, to go to the nearest emergency room. I said, yes. So that's what the last I heard from her. I actually found out later on that in spite of that, because she was abortion determined, and I told her, before you do the other procedure, if that's really what you want, you have to investigate this other one, because if this ruptures, you can meet. From what I understood, she still proceeded with the pill, the abortion, but she, of course, not happy about it, and so we provided her the post abortion syndrome information.
Tough cases, aren't they? Yeah. Thank you, Cephalon, for your hard work and faithfulness there and sharing that with us. So just the moral of the story is always, when you're surveying in the adnexa, observe, that you would not want to have missed that possible heterotopic pregnancy, because they're far more common than we thought. If any of you went to the NIPLA course 10 years ago, 8 years ago, 7 years ago, you would have said it's 1 in 30,000. Now we're looking at 1,285 to 3,800. So when you just put all the scans together you're doing over the year, you could indeed run across it. In fact, about 5 years ago, I thought I saw two of these within 1 year. If she had gone ahead with the abortion pill, it probably would have stopped both of them. Okay, just another one. Just look at this one. So here we see our abdominal image. And here we see what? Bladder. Posterior of the bladder is the vagina, we come down to the cervix, uterus, fundus. What would be the orientation of this uterus? This would be an anti-flex, again, because the anterior wall of the uterus almost touches the anterior wall of the vaginal canal. Very flexed. Went to a vaginal scan. Up here, this area would be the, from here to here would be the cervix. and there we see the cervical canal. If you can possibly get that canal in there again, this is not real definitive, but this is much more so definitive. That cervical canal usually makes a Y or a V into the gestational sac, like Doxy was showing you earlier. Can you see the cervical canal here? Right there? Try your best to get that in there. That will just be real fine-tuning your skills and great improvement to show. I want my doc to know without a doubt that I can prove this is an intrauterine pregnancy, and that is often the image that's going to do that. Okay, then we went to a transverse vaginal scan right here. There we see pregnancy in there. There we see yolk sac. Have done a measurement here, a crown to rump. What is this little structure in the top of the head we're seeing? Rhombencephalon. Good for you. Okay, and we're getting that one at 8 weeks, 2 days. Went on and did another scan, and we're getting that again, very similar. 8 weeks, 3 days. Picking up fetal cardiac activity here. We're getting 168 beats a minute. And have we proven our three things here? Intrauterine, estimated gestational age, and cardiac activity. Okay, great. Now, next image here, we're looking at an abdominal scan. What do we think here? Whoa, full bladder. Full bladder. Yep, we look over here, we see vaginal canal coming in. We can follow it down to the cervix. There we see the uterus. We see what appears to be a pregnancy in the uterus. Okay, then a transverse abdominal. We see uterus here and transverse. We've surveyed. And again, very, very full bladder. And it looks to be possibly a pregnancy inside the uterus. But really nothing real clear on that one. Now we go to our sagittal view in transvaginal. Up here would be the cervix. Anterior wall, canal, posterior wall, wraps around to the fundus. We see something going on in here. Notice anything? Anybody, any thoughts? Okay. I think I'm hearing somebody hesitantly say twins. Okay, here's our transverse image. There we see one, two, with a membrane between those. Any thoughts about what this might be? Subchorionic? Yeah. We may see some subchorionic activity there. And she was 21 years old, and by LMP she should have been 8 weeks, 3 days. She had no bleeding, no cramping. She was given ectopic and miscarriage precautions as per their protocol. Giving those physician noted placental mass. Here's what he said: placental mass versus subchorionic hemorrhage inferior to the gestational sac. And what the patient was told is the multiple pregnancies here are seen, and you need to get into prenatal care because they need closer monitoring. So here we have another image. Now this is actually I thought this was kind of a neat image. I've never seen this happen, where in one image you picked up heart rate of one up here, you picked up heart rate of another one down here, and I have looked at that and they're both accurate.
Wow.
Heart rates were the same.
Wow.
So, well, kind of amazing. Wasn't it a neat image here? And then crown rumps, and babies measured about around the range of 8 weeks. And the interesting follow-up on this, we don't know for sure what that was. And even physicians don't always know. They gave two possibilities, but the follow-up on this woman was that actually one of these she lost at 16 weeks, one of her twins. And then the other baby was born and actually died unexpectedly at 5 months. Yeah. Hard stuff, gals. This image was sent to me from Tanis. Jean-Louis is a nurse that's been at Madison, Wisconsin a long time and done great job there. And so here's what she saw. This is her sagittal uterus view here. The uterus here, vaginal. And this is her transverse view. And we see a cystic area here. stuff going on here and my computer. This is what they want to do when you go out, don't they? They want to tell you things you need to do. Any thoughts what this would be? Yeah, turned out to be a molar pregnancy. And she has actually seen several of these herself. Tanis has been scanning probably 12 years or more. And what a molar pregnancy. Have any of you run across a molar pregnancy? You have. Did it look similar to that? Yeah, they have that Swiss cheese. They can look numerous. They can be solid like that looks like. But then this is in transverse and we see a cystic area. But those molar pregnancies are actually the fertilization of what's called an empty egg. And so it's an ovum without chromosomes. It's a 46XX chromosome. And it's all paternally derived. The incidence of the molar pregnancy in the United States is 1 to 1,000 to 1,200 pregnancies. So it's likely you're going to see one at some point. A complete mole is a type of gestational trophoblastic disorder. There's numerous types of this. You can have a complete mole. You can have a partial mole. This trophoblastic activity is placental derived, and it's like a placenta gone wrong type of thing. Very rarely would there ever be a little embryo in it, and usually they are chromosomally abnormal. These would call what symptoms might she have? Anybody know what you might have clinically? Probably significant nausea and vomiting. Tend to have very high HCG levels. And on inspection, these tend to look like grape clusters, fluid cell sacs. And these would be followed up for up to 2 years. They would usually be, then these actually can be the result of an incomplete abortion procedure. They're going to be checking HCG levels. They want those to come back down to zero. And if they don't come back down to zero, they're going to continue to follow them. One of my nurse friends actually had what was called a chronic molar pregnancy that developed into malignant choriocarcinoma. But it continued, and then she ended up getting, her HCGs never went down to zero. Then she got pregnant. After that pregnancy, they went up again, and she actually developed a significant she actually threw a clot and lost part of these fingers here as a result of all that and spent a week in the hospital. So they can be, need chemotherapy. Those. Do what now? Well, they didn't in the beginning. She got pregnant again. And then this went on through over a couple of years, actually. Okay. The kind of things I would say is, I am not seeing what I expect to see. Those are the kind of words I would use. I'm not seeing what I expect to see. You need to get in for care. I would give her the precautions, both ectopic and miscarriage. I don't see an intrauterine pregnancy. She needs ectopic precautions. Again, I'm not making a diagnosis, but I want my physician to get that. She should be, yeah. And then let your physician give any further advisement. Okay? Yes.
So do we measure the whole gestational sac the same thing
Well, some people might. You could. I don't know how significant. You could if you weren't sure what to do. I would just go ahead and measure if I saw it and I wasn't sure.
I would probably wipe this here to here, irregular, here.
Okay, my computer seems to be frozen here. Don't do that. Okay, whoops, there it went, back. There we go. Okay, now we're on the next one. This is from Mary Kuhar, a nurse where I live in Lexington, Virginia. Mary had not been finished her training very long, and lo and behold, she has somebody come in. And she's doing her scan. Here she sees what? Bladder. We see vagina coming down to the cervix. There's the uterus. Do we see pregnancy inside? I don't see a pregnancy inside. See the endometrial canal there. See that? And it looks empty. And Mary got concerned because she saw something down here below the cervix here. And then here's her transverse image. Again, uterus is empty. And she sees something over here in the left adnexa. Mary checked this out. She was actually afraid to do a vaginal scan at this point. And so she picked up from right down here, she picked up fetal cardiac activity. And then she measured a crown rump of 7 weeks and 6 days. And Mary, this was one of those kind of things where Mary told her, she says, I'm not seeing what I would expect to see. I'm really concerned this could be an ectopic pregnancy. I want you to get in as soon as possible. And Mary called her back after the physician saw it, gave that same advisement, and the girl hadn't gone. I think she called her another time and said, have you gone in to see a physician? We suspect this could be an ectopic. We want you to go in as soon as possible. And she hadn't gone. And then a week or so later, the girl called her from the hospital saying she was in the hospital, that her proved to be an ectopic pregnancy. So, okay. Now we got one more here. This one's from Heidi Whelan of Appleton, Wisconsin. Heidi's a great sonographer, a nurse in there, and she's been scanning a long time and seeing some interesting things as well. Here's our sagittal abdominal view. We see a really full bladder here. We see the vagina down to the cervix, up to the fundus. Appears there may be gestational sac with maybe baby in it. Then she did a transverse. And this is often what happens when you do that transverse scan. If the bladder is just like busting full, it can actually deviate the uterus off to the side. It can make it go off to the side so much in the transverse. But she does, we see uterus here in transverse. We see what appears to be a gestational sac there. And Heidi went on to do a vaginal scan. Here we see cervical canal. So she's proven this, whatever's here is intrauterine. Here's the posterior wall, the cul-de-sac area, no fluid and evidence. Here's the fundus. She sees something in the uterus here. This is her transverse image here. And any thoughts? This is why I have a humble approach to scanning, because we never know what we're going to see. All these images came from pregnancy centers. So Heidi went on at that point. She thought possibly that she saw the, you know, a fetus there. She just really wasn't sure. So she measured a crown rump length here. And from here to here, and she got 11 weeks, 6 days. She looked for fetal cardiac activity, didn't see anything. This is probably picking up maternal right here. Mm-hmm. Here, no fetal cardiac activity here. And Heidi's doc's words, here's was his report on it. It appeared to be a first trimester ultrasound, irregular gestational sac with fluid collection surrounded by irregular placental tissue, with both cystic and hydropic changes, no embryo or yolk sac seen, recommended formal OB ultrasound and quantitative HCGs to rule out trophoblastic disease. And that's what it appears. This was another type of molar pregnancy. Okay, let's do another one here. Anybody? Any thoughts there? Okay, this person by Ellen P. was 7 weeks and 3 days. This came from Deanna Monte, the nurse at the Women's Resource Center in Mobile, Alabama. Here's our abdominal scan. Here we see her vagina, the first woman's vagina, posterior wall to the cervix, up to the fundus. Not sure what's going on here. Here's a transverse view abdominally, looking there. Okay. And once we look at the uterus vaginally, and I said sagittal view, this is actually a transverse view vaginally. This is the and they did a survey in the left adnexa. Something didn't quite look right. And then in transverse, they really weren't seeing much. And then in the right adnexa, she just documented this could be right ovary here. Y'all can see that there. This is the uterus. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. What you're seeing there? She went ahead and documented that. And then this is the sagittal view. Now, do we have an intrauterine pregnancy?
No.
Okay, here's the probe, here's the cervix, here's the cul-de-sac, there's the fundus. Here's the same one again, a little bit better. I thought the cervix was really nice and clear here. Okay, here's posterior wall. That's cul-de-sac. We're always looking for fluid. Here's the fundus. Do we see an intrauterine pregnancy?
No.
We do see a pregnancy here. We see a milk sac. It doesn't. Now, this was an interesting one because I have not seen anything like this for personally. Did a measurement. There's yolk sac. There's baby. Baby measured, what is it, 6 weeks, 2 days? Is that what it is? I can't skip this angle. And got a fetal. 6 weeks, 0 days. Okay. And got a fetal heart rate of 110 beats per minute. So there it is. And as it turned out, this was actually a... They were very concerned when they saw it and thought things did not look right. And she ended up going to the emergency room. And this was an ectopic pregnancy and a C-section scar. And in all the years, Dotsie, have you ever seen one? In all the books and things, I've never seen or even heard of these. I've actually done some webinars and stuff on ectopics and some presentations, and never in all the locations I've ever seen them, I've never seen a C-section scar pregnancy. But at the same time we got this, Deanna sent me this image, a sonographer friend from that Diana met the NIFLA course from Pennsylvania actually sent me a PowerPoint from a physician up there that was talking about a C-section scar pregnancy. These are on the increase. And it's because now at this point, about 32% of all pregnancies deliveries end up to be C-sections. And so they're finding pregnancies implanting in the scar.
Now,
a C-section scar.
Well, there's a lot of, they cut one way and then they cut the other way.
I'm guessing a horizontal scar.
Yeah. So, but the scar that's in the uterus. The uterus scar.
Yeah. Well, it is. You could, in one sense, if you look back at this image here, it is in the uterus itself. It's in the uterus because, but it's
right on the edge.
There's right in the middle. The cut is going to be right there for the C-section, right above the cervix, and there it is. And interestingly enough, now here the outcome of this one was that they sent her to the ER. She was admitted. This was an ectopic and a C-section scar, and she said from what the patient told them, you know, sometimes the reporting is a little bit uncertain how people give their history. And she said she thought she was probably from reporting to them, she was probably getting methotrexate for treatment of that. And again, like I mentioned, about C-sections are now 31-32% of all deliveries. But actually, in the PowerPoint, did Nancy Yeager send you that one as well, Dotsie? The PowerPoint on this. She actually sent us a picture that a few of these will actually go to term and they will actually do a hysterectomy and deliver a healthy baby. So these are totally new to me. So it's again, always do your thorough survey, follow a protocol, same way every time. Line up your cervix, let your physician get the best information they can, because again, a ruptured ectopic could be deadly for that woman. And here again, there's that one. Okay, now this one, to tell you the story about this one, these are so many of these. This one was just recently at a training I did. This woman had a history of 4 ectopic pregnancies. Now, would y'all be scanned? Now, you know, your docs make the call. Do any of you scan post-ectopics? The chances of a repeat ectopic are about 12% or 1 in 8. This woman had 4, and she came in for a training we were doing, and the nurse said to me, she said, well, now she's telling us she's had 4 ectopic pregnancies. I said, and this was a training, and I said, well, I don't want to do this without your physician's approval of it. And so she called her doc and said, well, if I was there, because I am a registered sonographer, that if I was there and the woman made an absolute commitment, if we didn't see what we expected to see, she would go immediately to the emergency room. She promised that she would. So abdominally, look at this. We've got a busting bladder here. We see vagina, a little bit of cervix here, uterus here, something here. We got her transverse. See how big her bladder was? Again, her uterus is pushing. It's pushing it way over to the left side. Anybody notice anything in that initial view? One of the nurses picked up on it. Well, now this is transverse. This is transverse. Look, we appear to be a gestational sac. And like Dottie said, you know, in transverse, abdominal, you don't know for sure, but one of the nurses thought, that was the question, she looked at me. We did a vaginal scan. Here's her uterus. There's her cervix. Here, gestational uterus here. Here's gestational sac. There, we saw a little something in it. Transverse, what do we know? We see two clear gestational sacs, very clear. And we could see something in this one. We could see something in this one. Measured. So this turned out to be A, and that maybe A measured 6 weeks one day. We got A measuring that there, and we got cardiac activity, 125 beats per minute. And then we got B measured at 6 weeks over here. B had fetal cardiac activity as well at 108 beats per minute. So as from going from four ectopics to twins was really good news for this woman. Pretty thrilling for her when she actually wept. Okay, now one more. One of many more. Okay. Bladder, vagina. Don't you see everybody looks a little bit different? Every single one of these looks a little bit different, don't they? Bladder, vagina, cervix, uterus. If I were going to change this image, I would slide up a little bit, change the depth, because I want less vagina, more fundus. This is just critique, okay? Then transverse, we see uterus here. We see something going on in that. This happened to be a 13-year-old girl. Was just seen in a pregnancy center August 25th. She showed up, and she had tried to do a self-abortion. She had been taking high doses of vitamin C and taking birth control pills off and on. And then what did they find? 15 weeks. 15 weeks, 5 days. There's the BPD, outer to inner, across there. There we go. Fetal heart activity at 134 beats a minute. And truthfully, the jury is still out whether she's going to carry. My friend Mary, who did this and just sent this to me, said, she says she's planning to carry. She's brought in by the boyfriend and his mother, but she'd already tried to self-abort. And this is the kind where I would never, ever try to assure her everything is going to be okay. We never want to tell them everything's going to be okay, but we want to support life where we can. Hard cases, aren't they? 13 years old. Okay, here's one more. This one was just from the last 2 weeks as well. Training I did. This was a 40-year-old woman, and she came in for the training. I always like to ask the question, is pregnancy good news? She said, I thought I was through with having babies, but now I find myself pregnant again. So over here we see almost an empty bladder, but we do see a clear vaginal canal. There we see the cervix. She's got an anti-flex uterus here. And we go down. This is the posterior wall, cul-de-sac up here. We do see a gestational sac right there, which looks like an embryo. And then we see this here. Any initial thought? Just kind of, my first thought was, I think that could be a significant fibroid, was my initial thought here. And then transverse, we saw little embryo inside there in transverse. Abdominally, did a vaginal scan. Here's anterior canal, posterior wall,
up to the fundus. There we see baby inside. There's that structure again. And then in a transverse, again, we see uterus, gestational sac, little person there.
When we looked closely, there was no cardiac activity. And baby measures 7 weeks, 6 days here. And this is this area above it. So this just happened last week. I asked the nurse, I said, would you let me know what your physician's take on this? My thinking after looking at it more carefully, this was probably a vanishing twin. Started out as twins, and this one never developed an embryo. Some of the images we saw, it looked like there might be a little tiny baby slightly developed in it, but likely a vanishing twin. And this one was not viable. As it turned out. Okay, this one again is in the last 2 weeks. Honestly, when I was preparing this, I was thinking, Lord, I'm not sure what I need to do with this. And I've stressed and stressed and stressed over this. And then in the last couple of weeks, things have been coming out of the woodwork. This image, this is a young girl. She was probably in her early 20s. She was from Ethiopia. And came in to the pregnancy center actually wearing a heart monitor. She had her previous pregnancy, she had valve failure and delivered a baby. She had found one physician in a practice who was willing to help her get through this pregnancy. She delivered that baby, she brought him, and he was this absolute beautiful one-year-old. I mean, he was half her size. She was this little tiny thing, and he was half her size, and he was just beautiful. And then a couple of months ago, they told her she needed a valve replacement. Then she finds herself pregnant. And so she came in, and so here's her images. Here's her bladder, vagina, cervix there, cervical canal, gestational sac and uterus. There we see that. We've gone to the vaginal scan. See that image there, cervical canal, posterior wall. We see our baby inside. Measured the crown rump 7.77, 6 weeks, 4 days, fetal heart rate 137 beats a minute. And when we ask her what she thought after seeing her baby, she said, I'm really happy. And this woman is going to be pressured to abort because her life is at risk. NIFLA's medical advisor, Dr. Byron Calhoun, says that sometimes in these kind of cases, to save the life of the mother, you may have to do an early induction. And the purpose is not to end the pregnancy, but to prevent the mother's life and protect her life at that time. So that was what I think she was hoping to do. And she asked us to pray for her, and she was praying that she would be strong in her faith in this. So if y'all just think to pray for her, she's really in a real dilemma. Her life is really at risk. Her last pregnancy it was as well, and she delivered that baby by faith. And I've just seen recently stories of the most amazing things where babies, one sonographer on this website that I Facebook group I subscribe to was saying that she does Now Lay Me Down to Sleep photography. You know what that is? This is this group for fetal a baby that's got a lethal anomaly. She said, I was asked to go to this delivery. I went and met this couple. I showed up at the delivery. They were doing a C-section, and they prayed beforehand. They were praying for this baby. They had been offered abortion. They chose not to do that because the baby had all kinds of problems, small head, abdominal issues, and so forth. And she said, they delivered the baby, and the baby looked like expected. They couldn't find anything wrong with this baby. And she puts this on this website group. She says, I didn't know what to think. Did God heal this baby? Did God answer their prayers? Was the ultrasound wrong? Those kind of things. So, by faith. Okay, I'm just going to run through some interesting images. Yes. Do what now? How early you do it? We find the heart rate whenever we could. Now, Dotsie mentioned earlier, because of the use of RU46 is probably close to 25% of pregnancies now. All they need is a positive pregnancy test. We're starting to pick up crown rumblings and heart rates at 5 weeks, 5 days. We're starting to get those 5 weeks. We used to, we're not getting them until 6 weeks, but we're starting to find them at 5 weeks, five weeks, 6 days. Any of you else found that to be true?
Yes.
You are finding that. So some of the docs are saying, wait till 7, wait till 8. Well, the women have already aborted that are determined usually by that stage. So that would be our strong inclination. Okay, this is just an image. This is, what do you think? Thoughts here? Bicornuate uterus, pregnancy is in the right horn here. I'm just going to show you some images from some of the centers around that I want you to run to see. Okay, look at this image. Notice anything of interest? We see bladder, we see vagina, we see cervix and uterus here, gestational sac in here. Look here. Any thoughts? Fibroids to make a lump. Dossie's doctor, this always sticks in mind, call it lumpy, bumpy uterus there. Create a shadowing there. And typically, unless a fibroid is significantly large, causing pain and or bleeding, or is in the cervical region, they're pretty considered benign. Not usually going to cause that big of a problem there. Okay? Now, I just thought this was an interesting image. What can you tell me about this image? Yes. Good. Okay, here's bladder. Behind the bladder is the vagina. Follow the vaginal canal. A posterior wall always leads to the cervix. That cervical canal goes up, angles back down to the fundus. I think there was a fibroid right here. Can you see this? Creating that shadow right there in the cervix there. That looks like a fibroid in the cervix. And then crown rump of 7 weeks, 4 days. Okay, now this was another one. This is what we were finding abdominally. And believe me, this was one of the most challenging to get even this much abdominally. So here we see bladder. Here we see vaginal canal. And then I follow that wall. It leads me to the fundus up here. This is this would be a retroflexed uterus. This is not even the same person as the last one. But this appears there might be a fibroid here. We could not get much information. This was really doing a lot of pushing to get that. Did a vaginal scan. And here we see, this is a retroflex uterus. The cervix shows up on this side of the screen into the fundus here. And we have a measurable crown rump and yolk sac there. Okay, what is this structure here? This is baby, it's 8 weeks, 6 days. Mm-hmm. Okay, anybody know what the word is? Physiologic mid-gut herniation. And you can... it's a normal occurrence between about 8 and 11 weeks. Usually resolved by 11. This is the baby's rump, top of the head, and this is its abdominal contents in the cord. It's expected at that stage. Considered normal.
What's that called again?
Physiologic mid-gut herniation. It's normal with... We don't talk about normal very much, but that one is a normal finding. I just want to show you this one. Notice this here. This is baby's abdomen right here. That is not physiologic mid-gut herniation. This is this little baby here. This baby and her mom came in for a training. We had a Tenefla course in December. She was 26 weeks, and she told us, she says, my baby's got trisomy 18. And this is considered a lethal anomaly. And she just wanted, this family was rallying around this baby. I think she had 6 other kids. She knew the baby would not live. And so we just had this opportunity to provide that training scan with her. This is baby Bridget here. And Bridget probably is likely passed away at this point. And I just want to just mention this. I've got a few of these here, but if you don't get one in here, hopefully if you see this kind of thing, I had this show up in a pregnancy center where I was almost 2 years ago, and they were not prepared for it. It was a second scan of that whole training, and we saw this. And it turned out to be trisomy 18, and because they weren't prepared for it, they sent her on to high-risk care and didn't have a lot. She was that woman was actually going to have a home birth with a midwife and wasn't going to have another ultrasound. And I was saying, you're not going to have another ultrasound. You're not going to go in to see an OB because you want to have everybody referred to an OB. Please, just say this because this was a learning experience. They were referring people to lay midwives for their pregnancy centers. I would urge you not to do that.
But it's a lay midwife?
A lay midwife.
So certified midwife is okay?
Not a nurse midwife is what I'm saying. Lay midwives, yeah. Mm-hmm. A nurse, anyway, they sent her then to high risk because the physician came in and said, yes, that's definitely on Omfalosil is what it's called. And it is associated with trisomy 18, which this other baby had. And then they didn't have resources. Focus on the family's got these out there. I've got a bunch of them, so I'm just going to put them over here.
If you want to take one, if you don't get one of them, you can get them.
It's just the resource of babies have legal anomalies that was written by a nurse from South Carolina. It's called The Gift of a Lifetime. And you just want to offer those kind of resources to people.